Also going a long ass drive.
Yo, back at it again, boy. Yeah.
What episode we on?
Nine.
How we do last week? We get any views?
We got a steady stream of avid listeners that right. support every time we put something up. We've lost a few strays here and there, and that's just fine. I even sent the message to you. I was like, then we might have some listener fatigue. Just fine. We'll get them back.
Yeah, we'll get
this. We're still up and running, man. This is still fairly fresh.
Yeah, our overhead's a little low, right? And so our overhead, well, I should say our overhead's low, so we ain't got much to hold us back.
It's only up from here. Yeah. We're new in the game. But here, I want to start it out by saying this podcast is the Champagne Pink podcast. And here's why. We had a very, very generous donation last week who became a subscriber to our channel. Ooh. So we're getting a monthly kick from our good friend in Orlando, Florida, Josh Lopez.
All right, Josh.
Shout out Josh Lopez. Now here, a little backstory to Josh. We went to college together. Most people don't know him from around the way around here because, well, he's never really came into the he lived in Elkins for a while, then moved back home. He lived in Elkins with Ham, and then some things happened and he left.
How's old buddy Ham doing?
Ham's doing good. Big Tom, shout out Big Tom. Big Tom overcame open heart surgery.
Back on his feet.
Back on the feet, recovered, everything's great. So
Ham coming in anytime soon?
This will be an open invitation through the podcast.
Damn, get your ass in.
Wilder Fury 2 is coming up in February. Okay. Maybe February 22nd. I can't remember what the actual date is, but I'm definitely ordering that one.
And Cross Vegas.
So we got.
Let's start out there.
Hit the table out of Cross Vegas. Yeah. I'm gonna invite Ham for that.
Big
Ham,
Ron coming.
Might have Big Ron out for round two.
All right.
So might have an event there. But back to Josh. Appreciate the support.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out Champagne Pete. That's the nickname.
Ham, your pockets at your deep ass pockets.
You got some deep pockets.
What's wrong with you?
Hey, it's on the Anchor app where I can always send you a link.
Can you see who listened?
No, I don't.
All right, so
I just see the number of listeners.
My wife's cousin is in this week. Last 2 weeks she's in from Washington State, and she didn't really have much to do, and I sent her the link and all that, and I said give it a listen.
Really?
So Josie, if you listen again, and you're out in Washington State doing what you do out there,
appreciate it, Josie.
Yeah, say something.
Yeah,
to
support,
us. Let us know.
Support.
She's always been cool to me. I have no issues with Josie. Seems like a good, decent person, you know.
Where's she from in Washington? Where's she live at in Washington State?
Out toward Tacoma.
Oh, okay.
Husband, military, stationed out there.
Oh, nice.
And every time when she says Tacoma, I think of fucking Tommy Lee and that YouTube. Y'all check this out on YouTube. Look up Tommy Lee Jones. I don't know if it's a show with the crew or if he's doing something. He's on this roller coaster. Well, he's sitting in this box, and he's like...
Not Tommy Lee Jones. Is it Tommy Lee Jones? Tommy Lee Jones is the actor.
Yeah, damn it. Tommy Lee.
The drummer from Motley Crue.
Yeah. Right, okay. Damn. All right.
Tacoma!
Yeah. He's like, you fucking ready? And dude, he goes on this roller coaster. I don't know why they have this thing in a theater or a coliseum. But he's just beating the hell out of Jones. Y'all need to check that out. Tommy Lee, YouTube in Tacoma, Washington. Check that out.
Yeah, that's a good
one. And thank me later.
Yeah. Speaking of YouTube, so sent everybody a clip today from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I was a little late on that.
Yeah, you were a little late. It's cool. You were busy today. I get it. So I'm watching this clip, and I've seen... I don't know if this is from the new season or this is from a previous season, but I watched that clip, and... I literally fell out of my off my sofa. My son's sitting there playing. It's just me and him, and I fall off my sofa just laughing, watching Leon talk about this. So what I want to get at is I don't want to spoil the clip, but if anybody needs the link, I'll send you the link. But honestly, I had no idea that dudes whiz through their fly.
Oh, yeah, man.
I had no, like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I had never put two and two together that a guy walks up to a urinal, pulls down the fly, the zipper on his fly,
and spreads his boxes,
and then gets in there. What if he's got briefs on and there's no hole?
See, that I've been in that situation, so I don't buy boxer. Well, so I'm more, I got transitioned.
Are you a boxer guy or a briefs guy?
Nah, I'm in the more the silky athletic stuff now that doesn't ride your legs up.
Okay, okay, to help with chafing, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, and it's just I don't have to keep adjusting my.
Okay,
I can't stand the roll up. And if they don't have the holes, I don't. That's a no.
You don't buy them.
No, no.
I got ones in there with holes, and I got ones in there with no holes.
The ones with no holes
are no good to you. So you're through the zipper guy.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, through the zipper.
I pulled every
one. This guy is 32 years old.
I pulled every one of my friends to ask them how they felt about this. So I'll go ahead and just go down the list of who I am.
You got weirdos that are like you?
No. Okay. Let me get there. So Jay was the first one. Jay's watched Curb with me.
Yeah.
We go way back. We're Seinfeld/Curb guys. So like I knew automatically when I sent that video that was going to get his attention. Right. So I asked him flat out. I was like, "Do you go through the zipper?" And he said, "Oh yeah." I was like, but there's got to be a situation in which you don't. And he's like, yeah, there are sometimes. He's like, but if I got a belt on, it's through the zipper every time. I'm like, man, so from the video, do you do the push and pop? He was like, he's like, no, that's a new one on me.
Yeah, I never heard the push and
the
pop.
The push and pop. Dude, I lost him. But anyways, okay, so then I go to Marco. I'm like, Marco, are you aware of this? He's like, yeah, I was aware of it. He's like, but he was also in the J camp. He goes with just in belt situations. Any other time he likes to feel comfortable.
Gotcha.
Then I asked Josh, a.k.a. Champagne Pete, shout out. This is what this podcast is for right here. Appreciate the support. He's like, oh, no. Never go through the zipper.
You don't go through the zipper.
Yeah, you're just asking for it. Now, he might be in Leon's camp. Where there is, you know, there
some extracurricular
clearage issues to get through the zipper. Okay, right. So, anyways,
did we go to Ham?
Ham never responded to the video He didn't get any chuckle. I don't even know if he watched it. He probably didn't watch it.
What's he doing?
He's probably busy like you.
Okay. Oh, that pass.
And then who?
Billy.
Bill didn't respond. Bill gave me no response to the video. But literally, this is like I had discovered a new planet.
Okay.
I had no idea guys did this.
Are you going to try it?
Yeah, I think I'm obligated to now. Like, to me, this was like, but I didn't have any, I was comfortable all day, so like, I just had boxers or like, you know.
No reason.
No reason to try it out, okay? But now I feel like obligated, like I'm going to literally wear the ones with the hole, my briefs with the hole, so I can do it out in public.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, because I gotta try this. For whatever reason in my mind, I'd always just assume like guys would like, you know,
not little boy pee.
No, not little boy pee, but literally just pull down in front,
yeah,
with their boxers and or briefs and just go like that and pull back up.
You're gonna be amazed.
This is like I have discovered plutonium. Like,
speaking of Bill, how was your weekend at Bill's?
Did we not talk about this last time?
I know you were going because last time we did on a Thursday, correct?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so went up Saturday, later morning. We got a little later start than I wanted. That's 5 hours any way you cut it. So it's a far ride. He lives in Charlestown.
They got a casino up there, don't they?
Yes, I believe so, somewhere.
All right.
I thought about this on the ride to and from, and I did want to mention it on here. That literally up there is like you're not even in West Virginia.
Right.
Because like the scene, like just the overlook of everything, it's like you hit like, it feels like you're in like some other state. Right. Like it has no West Virginia feel because it's like, the backdrop of those mountains, it's like you're not, like down here, you're in them.
Yeah.
So like when you're waving out and out through like the roads and stuff, like you're like down in them, so you can't really like, you know, get a good view of it. Yep. But when you're up there on the top like that and you're looking out and you're like, man, you can see forever up here.
Yep.
It's crazy. Awesome. I mean, it's a good trip. The kids were great on the way up and back. I thought we were going to have a little bit of trouble, but we didn't. Bear slept and Ev slept. And we stopped a few times. We stopped in Fairmont on Saturday because we got detoured off of... because
of the bridge.
Yes. Yep. Got detoured off into Weston, mm-hmm. and it was like everybody had...
Like old times?
Oh, dude. West,
do you have any memories?
No. Well, I'm farther up 133.
Oh, okay.
Weston, there's that insane asylum there, and that's it. But it took us forever to get through there. So I was like, you know what? Since we just got delayed basically like 40 minutes, I was like, let's just stop and eat and get out of the car and stretch our legs. And so we went to Permane Brothers. You know mm-hmm. about Permane Brothers? Just
had it at PNC.
You did? Yeah, that's right. That's right. That from the little stand or whatever. Yep. That's basically what this restaurant kind of had that feel, because the real original one's downtown. So like you're getting a real deal treatment downtown, but this one's a standalone restaurant. It was decent, but stopped in there and ate, and then went the rest of the way, and we got there, hung out for a little bit. Got to meet Lane, let him play around a little bit, Marty play around a little bit, and then we had lasagna, and then we watched the UFC and just kind of kicked it. I mean, it was like, we kind of joked, it was like, you know, you go from like hanging out with people back in the day, like where it was like a full-on party, and now it's like all the kids are getting together, and it's just like, that's it. Like,
yeah, we're here, man.
Once the kids are done playing and everybody's like winding down, you're just like, I guess we can talk now and, like, you know, enjoy ourselves and, like, relax.
Where do you want to go to bed?
Yeah, and then night ended probably at 11:15. Got up, we had breakfast with them, kicked it for a little bit, and then drove out. It was good to see him, good to hang out, good to talk, and so, yeah, it was a good
thing. Bill ever leave? You think he's going to come back, move around?
I told him, I was like, when I pulled in, I was like, dude, you got to move closer or something. This 5-hour ride's ridiculous.
What'd he say? What old Billy have to say?
I think they got a pretty good life up there. They live in a nice little subdivision that it doesn't feel, or it's an HOA, but it doesn't feel like an HOA. Yeah. He's got a lot. He's got a nice lot up there.
Good.
So literally it runs back into the woods, and he's got room to roam and build stuff, and it's nice.
Good.
It's
for Bill.
A nice place.
Good for Bill.
So they're doing well. Good seeing them. So, yeah, the trip, and then, you know, got back Sunday a little late, and then went to work this week, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, anyways, moving off that curb clip, I'm going to try that.
Yeah,
I'm going to go through the zipper. Did you know that Lil Wayne dropped a new album today?
The only reason I knew he dropped an album is because he did the 20. So we're going to get into Kobe Bryant death, mm-hmm. and then it says on what track 8 he paused for 24 seconds.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Track 8?
Track 8 to 24/7.
That's why Champagne Pete mentioned that today, because I just kind of buzzed through it. There's like 24 songs on this. It's called Funeral.
You think he's any good? You think he's the old Lil Wayne?
So I asked this to Champagne Pete and Ham. I said, hey, is this the last hurrah for Lil Wayne? Like, is this it? Like, because the album's labeled Funeral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm assuming that he already did most of these songs before the Kobe death.
Yeah.
So is this like it? Is like it? This is last go around? Because like, it really honestly feels like to me, the sound is somewhat the same. I like the Carter. What was it? 5.
There, I like a little bit of all the Carters.
I like the Carter 5 a little bit. There was a few songs, but it was another one of those albums where it's like 25 songs. And I'm like, dude, I can't, like, I can give you a couple.
You need a couple bangers.
And then you're out. Like, all this other stuff's just filler. Like, why are you putting so much on one album?
Yeah.
So I listened to a few of them that I was like, oh, this is a little bit of a little old Wayne. But then there was one on there with Extension XXX, yep. The dude that passed away. And, like, it was one of the weirdest songs I've ever heard him put out. And that's even including, like, the rock albums that he did.
Yeah.
When he was a skater dude.
And what is he now? Is he back to Lil Wayne or skater? Or
I really don't know. I don't really feel like he's even done a whole lot of, like, media stuff. I had no idea. Between him and Eminem, you just never know when these guys are dropping albums. It's like all of a sudden, like, just, oh, it's Friday, and here's a new album. I'm like,
Birdman got anything to do with this?
I don't. I don't think they mend the fence on that a little bit, but I don't know what his involvement is in on it. I'm assuming it's a Cash Money record, but I don't know if they've really mend the fence or what. I'm speaking out of terms here, like I have no idea. But I listened to a few of the songs, and I gotta say, a few of the songs were pretty good. And then everything else was just kind of, it felt like the Carter Five again. It was just like, I don't know.
Too much.
Yeah, but my question was, is he done? Like, is this it? Like, is this the last? Because, like, I feel like his sound, like, he was on top.
Yeah.
From what, like, 2008 to, like 13, 14-ish?
Yeah, like forever.
Like, he was like, no one could mess with him. And then all of a sudden, it was like the rock albums come out. He goes Skater.
They held the Five.
They held the Five up. And then, like, all that stuff went down with the feds where he had that famous interview where, doing his little thing. And then the Birdman fallout, and then he just disappeared. And then he comes back on a few songs, and you're like, it's still the same Wayne, but, like, we're kind of past the genre of Wayne. Like, he had his moment in the sun, and now he's kind of gone. He's a legend. Don't get me wrong. I love his old stuff. Carter 3 will forever be in the conversations of the best album of all time. You could go back and play the Carter 3 for our generation. You could put that on at any party and no one would be upset about it.
Right.
Because we would all know every lyric to those songs and we would all like go nostalgic on it. Like Carter 3, you can't mess with the Carter 3. It is a masterpiece.
So is he done or not?
I don't know. I want to say he is. I want to say this is kind of like we're nearing the end with him. Like, I think he's going to hang it up.
Yeah.
Now, but what does he do after he hangs it up is the next question.
Drinks his promethazine and has seizures.
Well, he said he was on the. I thought he mentioned on the Carter Five that he was never going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Like, that was literally his thing, and he's never going to give that up, which is crazy because of how bad that is for you. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I was anxious to know if you had listened to it or not, but definitely give it a listen. Kobe, it's unimaginable. I was driving back from Bills when all this goes down. Okay, so I'm driving and I get an ESPN alert because I'm off social media on my phone, so like I have no way to get on it, and no one had texted me up to that point, and I'm assuming the TMZ stuff came out early in the morning.
They were
an hour behind it happening, supposedly, because they reached out to his camp.
I seen something, and then I was like, oh, that's just some spam. And then, but I went to the TMZ link, and when I clicked on the TMZ link, no, I didn't check the link. I just seen somebody posting it said TMZ. I went to the Googles, hit TMZ, it was shut down. And I was like, oh, somebody done hacked their shit.
Yep.
I was like, all right, I gave it a couple minutes, and then it was like, oh no, this motherfucker is really dead. Like, dead.
So the ESPN alert comes across my phone. I pull into my driveway. Basically, I'm like real close to home. And then a series of texts happened. I think Marcus texted me first and said, no, Kobe, no. And then I get the alert, and I'm like, oh man, no way. Then I reached out to Josh, aka Champagne Pete and Ham, and they're like, they basically act like it was old news. And then you texted me and was like, can you believe that? I'm like, man, like, what in the world? And when the early reports came in, it was just him and his daughter. Then you come to find out that there was
nine total, so seven other, and nobody has a fucking clue who those other seven are.
No, one was a baseball coach at a junior college, I believe. He was well renowned for in that area or whatever. And then, I don't know what
I read. Something you see where Kawhi's
it was his pilot.
Yeah, and he said he'd drop Kobe off and pick him up at times. So,
do you ever remember back when? I think it was right about the time he was thinking about retirement. And they were starting to like do all his like farewell stuff, but they were asking him like something to the effect of like how he felt as a parent, or maybe that like what was his schedule like as a parent.
Yeah,
and he talked. And you remember how he said he'd drop his kids off at school, come back home, then go to wherever the helicopter was, take the helicopter to practice, get his shots up, get his workout in, and then helicopter back to his house, then get in the carpool lane and go pick his kids up.
What it is, man, it's like I've told people this when I work with it. Man, it's a freak accident. Like, it, I don't think it was anything malicious. Mm-mm. He could have gotten hit by a semi that day on the...
There was more chances of him dying in a car in L.A. than there probably were. Wasn't that helicopter.
It's just a freak-ass accident, and he happened to be on that plane.
Now, what do you think is the aftermath of this? Do you think athletes still do this helicopter thing? Yeah. Or do you think the regulations ramp up on this?
Like, no, I think they do it.
Because you know there's Uber does helicopter rides in New York City.
Yeah. No, I think they'll probably say, like, all right, you need to put that device in there that he didn't have.
Oh, the, yeah, the motion, low, the yeah, the low, low war, yeah. Ground warning thing
and
system.
I, no, dude.
Every report I saw said that helicopter was like the Mercedes of helicopters. Yeah. It was just a 91 version.
Yeah, it's a freak accident. I mean, I'm not, like I said, it could happen.
You think
have,
LeBron gets in his helicopter and does his thing now?
Yep.
You think all
that? I think they might be shook up, but it's like, dude, you might say, all right, I'm not doing that anymore, but you're like, all right, well, if I got to go home to this and I'm going to wait in that traffic for 2 hours, nope.
I don't think, so like, when we talk about all this, I think there's a misunderstanding that people don't really fully get when they talk about like LA traffic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can mention like LA traffic, but until you live that life out there and you realize it takes you 2 hours to go like 25 miles.
Yeah.
Like you can't even, like, you can't comprehend. So like I would never blame a guy if he had access to a helicopter.
Yeah.
To get in that helicopter and beat traffic.
I mean, if you died in a car wreck, yeah, I'm upset, but it's like, all right, well, is that just going to keep me from ever getting in a car? Like, no. Like,
I tell my wife this all the time because I travel for work. Literally, I have nothing that is not at less than 50 minutes to get to for work. And I'm like, she's always worried. She was always worried in the beginning, like, of the plant life, like something going bad in the plant and
like
an explosion.
Like, I'm down
there. I've had more close calls in a car or a truck than I ever thought about having on day-to-day life in a plant.
Yep.
That's the most dangerous thing that that humans probably do is ride around that death trap.
I've told Chelsea several times, and I don't know why. Sometimes I think about this when we're driving, and I'm like, especially on, like, two-lane roads, and I'm like, can you believe we're in a vehicle and the only thing that's separating us is a line on the road?
Yep. It's amazing that there's not more wrecks.
Yeah.
It's amazing that we can actually be somewhat civil in those things and not just be crashing into each other. It's unbelievable. And our engine, the engine in those things is literally a fireball of explosion happening in there to propel this piece of aluminum/metal down the road. It's crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy what we've
been. I agree.
But yeah, man, RIP to Kobe. What's your fondest memory from him?
Man, my fondest memory was just talking shit to Kurt.
Yeah.
Because Kurt was a big Kurt Kobe was man, and I always just gave shit. And it's funny, you see all this shit on Facebook about people saying, like, don't ever stop yelling Kobe when you throw a piece of paper in the trash. Mm. And I'm like, all right, that wasn't even Kobe. That was Dave Chappelle. They threw the condom on the bed, making fun of the joke, and flicked it off after he screwed that girl and said, Kobe, because he was making fun of him for that rape stuff. It's like, that wasn't even Kobe Bryant that
remember
was behind
the
that. That was
origin,
Dave.
Remember the origins of the joke, people. Context matters here.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
And it was like, don't stop saying it. I was like, well, that was Dave Chappelle.
You think Gen Zers understand that? Like, because they didn't see him in his prime. So, like, the next generation after us doesn't really understand, like, the Mamba mentality. They saw the back end of the career. Yeah. They didn't see the Shaq and Kobe dominance that the Lakers had.
I feel like us, yeah, we've recognized it, but I feel like a lot of people just moved on to LeBron.
Oh, well, yeah. But, and I mean, the thing that I shouldn't be irked by it, but there was always this, like, apprehension to root for him because he was such a Jordan clone.
Yeah.
Like, everything he did looked like Jordan. And I'm not saying that's not something that you shouldn't strive for if you're an NBA player because, yeah, he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
He is the guy. I get it. But, like, it always just felt like, man, you're ripping him off. Like, I want you to be –
You. I want you to do. But I mean, granted, look, man, the guy was. He was a phenomenal player. Yep. Like,
it sucks. It sucks for his wife. It sucks for his kids. Oh, the kid thing.
Was, I couldn't even. That was what was so disheartening to me is how many kids were on that and how many of them lost their lives.
Oh, let's segue off that because this just came to my mind and I forgot about it. Do you know Dog the Bounty Hunter is?
Yeah, he went broke.
Ah, is he broke?
Yeah, broke is a joke. I just saw it on Yahoo.
Well, did you see what he's doing now?
No.
So his wife died of cancer 8 months ago and he vowed to her he'd never get married again.
Oh,
well,
no.
The new thing is he was on Dr. Phil or somebody doing it, or Dr. Oz, when I'm talking. Well, he proposed to this one girl, and she was actually a longtime family friend, and she was in the wedding, his original wedding.
Oh, dog.
And the family's pissed. They're like, she's a betrayer. And I just told Chelsea, she's like, no way. And I was like, yeah, it just happened. Like, and then he made this quote about, He vowed to never get married again, but he's a big-time Christian, and God, he said that basically, like, I'm not saying I want to get married, but I want to be happy, and God has put her here, and she makes me happy and complete. I don't want to be sad anymore.
Can I ask how old she is?
I think the same age. She's not, like, some 20-year-old
guy. She's not younger.
No. So,
basically, but she was in the wedding.
Yes, I told you, they've been sleeping this whole time.
Man, conspiracy theory.
Oh, his family fucking hates him. Like, dog, you're going to be out bounty hunting alone, buddy.
Leland. That show's not on TV anymore, is it?
I don't know. It always.
I don't think it is. Yeah. I don't think it's on
Leland
TV.
Leland is going to put his paintball gun up. And
remember how popular that show was?
Yeah, and
it was so stupid, though.
Good for Dog, though. Good for making money on that.
Also, those dudes carried around was pepper spray.
And paintball guns. Because it's illegal in Hawaii or whatever, but... Oh, yeah. That's all right.
Well, he is broke. No, I will add that.
Fuck Dog.
All right, one last thing from pop culture news. Did you see the Rogan versus Stephen A. Smith stuff going on?
I've seen parts of it.
Well, please let me enlighten you to this situation. This is...
Hey, is Rogan a Bernie Sanders fan?
All right, all right. So Rogan's been in the news all week long.
Right.
All right. So let's start with that.
Let me tell you how I found out.
Go.
I had to run out of my father-in-law's last week to pick up something. And he's coming out to give us something. I mean, it's a drop and go.
Okay.
So he comes running out and we're talking. He's like, hey. You still listen to Joe Rogan? I said, when I have a little bit of time.
He's like,
you can't do that anymore. And I was like, well, I think he's pretty funny. Like, why? He's like, he's a Bernie Sanders fan. And I was like, oh, not Joe. And he's like, oh, yeah, Bernie Sanders. He said, turn that off. I was like, well, you know, Rusty, I guess I'm going to have to.
Wait, 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 wait. All right. Let me give you something here. So here's what happened. And I am not turning this into any sort of political conversation. I'm just giving you the nuts and bolts to this conversation.
All right. That was my little wing.
Spark up.
Yeah.
So Rogan had, if you're following Rogan in the past, let's say 6 months of podcasting, okay? He's had Andrew Yang on, he's had Tulsi Gabbard on twice, and he had Bernie on once. So that's three of the Democratic candidates. Mind you, Joe Rogan is a Democrat.
Right.
Somewhat to a different standard, though. He's not a MSNBC Democrat. He's not drinking the Kool-Aid all the time because he's had the likes of Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder, Candace Owens,
right.
Dave Rubin. He's had multiple Republicans on just to have discourse.
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, the podcast that this happened on was the Barry Weiss podcast, who is a New York Times writer who is pretty liberal.
Right.
So she asks him verbatim, so who are you going to vote for in the election? Granted, all these people were wigging out about this. No one has any idea who the nominee is going to be.
Right.
Okay, so that's number one.
I think you got Trump. Well, you're talking about Democrat.
Democratic nominee.
Yep.
Okay, so he goes, well, if the vote were to happen today, I would probably vote for Bernie.
You lost all right. Paxton.
All right. So, so in saying that, okay, he said, I would probably vote for Bernie, and I would hope that his running mate would be Tulsi because I really like Tulsi as a person as well.
Right.
All that just basically threw it out there, and he's like, the only reason why I would vote for Bernie. Number one, because I'm a I'm more Democratic than I am probably Republican. And number two, I like that Bernie has never wavered on any of his policies and stuff since the 60s. We can go back. He has literally been shouting the same stuff, the same rhetoric for the past how many in all of in his whole entire political career. So that's what he stood on. That's what he said. That's what he said on the podcast. I'm not arguing that. I don't care.
Right.
If we can get into the weeds on that. So what
we
I'm going
to got to cuz I don't well, fuck I know. It. I
all right. Whatever. So the clear this. So what happens is after that podcast gets released,
they spin it.
The Bernie campaign grabs that clip.
Ooh!
And throws it out as an endorsement.
Oh.
Without Joe's knowledge and without Joe's graces.
Right.
So then guess what happens after that? CNN latches on, MSNBC latches on, and they use it as a smear because they don't want Bernie to get the nomination.
Ah.
They can't stand Bernie as a candidate. So that was all that this was basically they used Joe.
Dude, who's coming out of the Democratic Party? Because they all hate Trump. But then they all hate each other.
Mm.
So
it's literally watching the left eat itself to try to figure out who's going to be the nominee.
And then you got Trump over there. It's like, all right, nobody's running against me. And the shit he says on Facebook and Twitter, I'm like, dude, come, like, it's funny. It's funny to me because I know he doesn't. I think he truly doesn't. I think he's got some good heart in him that he's trying to do right for American people. We've talked about this before. I just don't think he gives a fuck because he has nothing to lose.
No.
He has nothing to lose after. Almost all politicians don't have nothing to lose after life because they're going to be millionaires.
Oh,
they're
going
to get paid to do.
He's setting up real nice.
Yes.
Look at Obama's after career. Literally, he's giving speeches to these banks and making millions and millions of dollars. The Clinton's the same way.
And I feel like once, so Trump, he's like, all right, I held that seat for you. Can fake hoax or true hoax, whatever you want to call it.
Try to impeach me.
I mean, whatever. Go ahead. But I was president. You can say he was the greatest president, the worst president. You'll never take that away.
Right.
He was. And what else do you got in life to be? You're a multi-bazillionaire.
Yep.
And you're the president of the United States without ever holding a political office. What more could a man want in life?
So, with that being said, the left was hilarious in their reaction to this because they called him, they called Joe transphobic, homophobic, and misogynistic. So all the big three.
Yeah.
Joe, the only reason why they could use the transphobic statement is because Joe was an advocate against Fallon Fox, who transitioned after 30 years of life to being a woman and then hopped in a cage and became an MMA fighter and was beating up women and didn't disclose the information that it was an actual man beating up a woman.
Yeah.
He literally broke a woman's face and joked about it after the fact, boasted about it.
All right, and I'm
that Joe was against that.
I'm 100% with him.
Exactly. I think most logical humans would be. And he also to that fact, he had Eddie Izzard on, who's a trans woman.
How does that work? If you're a trans woman, does that mean
he's basically a biological?
Is he a man? Biological
male, but transitioned to being a woman.
Okay.
So Eddie Izzard, he's like, dude, I love Eddie. He's like of the podcast guests that I've had over the years. He's like, I would sit down and talk to Eddie Izzard anytime that she wanted to talk to me. And Eddie Izzard was I listened to that podcast. Eddie Izzard was like one of the most insightful / motivational person because he ran 26 marathons in a row. 25 days he ran 25 marathons.
Shit.
Just a nut. Okay, and that was number one. Number two, they called him homophobic. He's had literally, I don't know how many gay people on that podcast has even had a tweet in 2012 about talking about two men kissing in a restaurant and said he loved it. And yet the left is like, oh no, he's homophobic. I'm like, you guys got to be kidding me. And the misogynistic thing is that he's basically an MMA announcer who's a short, bald dude that it has tattoos all over him and could literally kick you through that freaking garage door. Like, okay. Yeah, okay, so what? He's a male.
That's how he's made his living.
He's a stereotypical male, and you're going to call him misogynistic when he's lobbied for Tulsi Gabbard to get the nomination?
So is he turning his back on him?
Well, that's the thing. He's literally came out and was like, this is just a ploy to, like, basically burn Bernie to the ground. Like, that's all this is. It's like, right. It's a smear campaign on Bernie. And all the left wanted Bernie to do was basically denounce the nomination. And Bernie, of course, Bernie's not going to do that. They don't even realize how big the reach Joe Rogan is. Joe Rogan is the male Oprah. Like, he's literally speaking to, he's the number one, number two podcast every week on iTunes. Like, right. You guys can't tear him down. And last point. I don't want to continue this rant because I want to get to Stephen A.
I think you're in love with Joe Rogan.
Well, I have been accused of that. So yes, if you want to call me biased, that's fine. Last point. Joe literally, he is. If you're going to Joe for politics, you're crazy. He's not a political person. So it doesn't make no sense to me, like, why the left would be, like, attacking him and giving him any sort of credibility in the political realm just because he had candidates on. Again, he is a MMA announcer who's a comedian.
Right.
If you're going to talk politics with Joe Rogan, he's just giving you opinions.
Yeah.
It's not his wheelhouse. So stop this madness. Now,
one for Joe.
Stephen A. Smith. With, like, that whole debacle. So after the Cowboy Connor fight, there's an interview. Joe's standing in the middle of another ESPN guy. I don't know what that guy's name is, so I'm sorry. And then Stephen A. on the other side. And literally Stephen A. goes, I think Cowboy quit. And Joe just looked at, if you watch the clip, Joe just looks at him and is like, did he really just say that on live TV?
Because he'd whoop your ass in a heartbeat.
We're talking about the most decorated UFC fighter with the most wins, the most knockouts with head kicks, the most submissions. Like, go down the line. Cowboy's fought anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
And you're telling me he quit? Like, it makes no sense. And then he also said in the interview, he said, we didn't learn anything about Connor. And Joe's like, well, yeah, we did. We learned that Connor's back and maybe better than ever.
He pulled out a sneakeroo, wasn't he?
He literally did shoulder strikes in the middle of the octagon and head kicked him. We've never seen anyone use shoulder strikes like that. What do you mean we didn't learn anything from this fight? Granted, we might not learn anything. We might not think he's ready for Khabib, but that's a whole other argument. That's a whole other discussion for another time.
Man.
He's a bad man, 25-0, and can literally do whatever he wants in that octagon. And then also, then there was a clip that got released to Stephen A. Smith hitting mitts. And literally, I watched a clip today of Teddy Atlas, like, analyzing it. Stephen A. was swinging, he would, like, uppercut to the left, and then, like, up, like, down punch to the right. And it was like he was punching a midget down here. And it's like
attacking?
It was like, what is this guy doing? And he releases the clip, I guess, either prior to or right after that whole interview to, like, make his credibility go up. And everybody's like, you just made yourself look worse. So, like, why is ESPN have Stephen A.
Who don't know shit.
Who don't know shit about fighting coming on here.
Just because of his name.
He's a personality.
Yeah.
So they're trying to draw these eyeballs for Stephen A. I'm like, you're making yourself look bad. So I am interested in seeing, does ESPN continue with the charade? Do they have him on the next Conor fight? Because I think the everybody will be out with pitchforks. They'll be like, no, we ain't doing this anymore. Like, get Stephen A. out of here because he is not credible to the sport. He just called a guy with one of the most decorated fighters in UFC history a quitter. Mm-hmm. We can't do this anymore. It would be like asking Joe Rogan to commentate the Super Bowl. Like, Joe Rogan doesn't know anything about football. He can't even, he can barely name five players, and he would admit to that. So, like, why? Joe would be like, no, I'm not doing it. So why Stephen A. just doesn't pack his stuff up? Like, yeah, I'm not doing
it. Yeah,
NBA
I'm not. Let's stay off it. Yeah,
yeah, like, just stick to basketball, man. You're great at it.
So are they going at each other? Or is it just
No. Joe has made two retorts to all that, basically commenting about it. And basically Joe's like, dude, I love him as a person. Like, I think he's a great dude.
It ain't worth my time entertaining that.
He's like, dude, he's like, but Stephen A., you're wrong. You're wrong in every facet of what you just said. But you're a great human. And he left it at that. He didn't bash him. I mean, they made fun of his, like, punching and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who wouldn't? Right. You gotta watch that clip of Stephen A.
Yeah, I will. I'll look at it.
It's hilarious. But, yeah, I don't want to get too carried away. I went on a rant there. I don't want to get too carried away.
Man, don't bring Joe Rogan around you. Shit. God damn.
Hey, what? There is a quote. I gotta mention this quote. Ron Means always tells me. He basically says, because I'll take supplements in the morning, and they're from Rogan's, like, his sponsor, company. Yeah. Yeah. And he'd be like, yeah, you've paid for Rogan's house like 18 times over again.
Damn, Big Ron. Hey, shout out to Big Ron. That last fight, Ron, that was a good dinner you cooked. That
The ribs were on point. Yeah. Ribs were on point. The pork butt was good.
Good job, Ron.
I eat that for a week after.
Yeah.
There's good stuff.
Damn, Big Ron coming in on the smoker.
All right, so let's get to why we're here. As you know, always a theme to these sort of deals, and I wanted to start off by saying the theme of it is basically we had come up with this idea where we were going to come up with words that we don't normally use in our vernacular every day, and that we were going to try to define them as we ask each other back and forth about these words. And I picked out, I got, what, 6 or 8 here. And basically I wanted to start out by saying that, like, this podcast is also about, you know, interpreting information, passing it back and forth, and then also making ourselves, try to make ourselves smarter in the process. So I think if anything you can take away from this podcast, it's going to be, even if we might not know the definitions of these words, maybe we should use them in our vernacular and every day, and then maybe the people that are around us can take something from this podcast and use it for themselves.
And I'm going to go off I'm on the topic, but I'm going to go tell you my thing. So I've been a little busy this week, and you told me that, and I was like, man, let's switch it up because I'm not going to be prepared. And then you were kind of like, we can, but you know this, what do you want to do? And I was like, you know what, I got 20 minutes. Let me bang out some words here.
Yep.
So I started Googling and looking. I was looking through what I got, and so I'm going to go off track on these. So I started looking up words, and the shit popped up on Google, and I was like, I went to Urban Dictionary.
Oh, yeah. So that's great. That's great, because I went more like Webster's, and you go Urban. Yeah,
so my stuff's going more, I think, like, you might have, like, the more official stuff.
Yeah,
I got
yeah.
And it was good. Like, so I was flipping on Urban Dictionary, and I was like, these are funny, but a lot of them was like, I already know all this, so maybe I'm more hood than I am.
Yeah, this is great. This is great.
I didn't want to say anything.
So we're gonna get our hood vernacular up and our actual English vernacular up. All right.
So, good. And I got some, I got them, I just screenshot them so I know the whole definition or what they're technically supposed to mean, I guess.
Yeah, let's hear it. All right, so hit me with one.
Let me get in here. All right, so this one, when I read it at first, and this wasn't in Urban Dictionary, and I read this word at first, and I was like, man, nobody knows what that means. And then after I read it and I started looking, I was like, oh, man, shit, everybody knows what this means. So
good, start off on
Do you know what a dunce is?
A dunce.
Yeah, so D-U-N-C-E. Dunce.
Dunce. A dunce. Well, if automatically, if I can remember and recall back, I remember there was a thing back in the day that was called a dunce cap.
Yep. It's,
and literally, if you were to say something stupid or idiotic, they would literally crown you. It almost like would feel like what you would do at, like, Dirty Dicks.
Yeah.
Where they put that stupid white hat on your fucking head, and then they write all kinds of shit on it, and you're basically like fucking sitting there not knowing what the fuck is on your head.
So you're right. And it's a slow at learning or a stupid person. And at first, when I read it, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be good. He ain't going to. And then I was like, that's the fucking dunce hat. Like,
that's
sit in the corner and you put it. So I was like, all right, we'll go with that.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that one.
So you want to go, or you want me to keep going?
Yeah. Let me get you one.
Well, let me read this one for you.
Okay, go.
Because this is where I start getting shit.
Okay, this will be good.
You know what a meat umbrella is?
a meat umbrella.
Yeah.
Oh man, is it? I'm assuming there's some vulgarity to this.
It's sexual.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna take a stab at this one. Just give me the definition.
So according to the Urban Dictionary, a meat umbrella is extra long foreskin of the penis can be pulled out wide enough to shield the shaft from leaking pre-cum running down. What a time to be alive.
Meat umbrella.
What a time to be alive.
Oh my gosh.
Oh shit. I was like, well.
Dude, who would come up with that? Where's the
This was
where's the origin come from?
It just says,
use that in a sentence, please.
It just says hashtag foreskin January 5th of 2018 that was published. So I was like, all right, the old meat umbrella.
The meat umbrella.
Any of our listeners out there, if you have ever had a meat umbrella, experienced it in some way or another, let us know. I have never experienced a meat umbrella.
Dude.
Let us know. Fill us in. And you don't have to tell a story, and it all remains anonymous. Just put hashtag anonymous. Tell us your story. Hit me.
Okay. Let me give you an easy one starting out. Let's go. Do you know what regurgitate means?
Would that be like throwing something back up or yep. spitting it back? I always think of animals like birds. They'll eat something, regurgitate the worm.
Great. Good, gotcha. good. Basically, that word is associated with birds because, you know, when birds feed their younglings, they basically go and get the food, eat it, and then they come back to the nest and throw it up into their mouth.
I think it's more common in animals than what we think.
You remember this is a great segue. Do you remember Ace Ventura: Pet Detective
yeah.
when he did it in this? Or it was the second one. When the jungle call is that when it was
when nature calls?
When
the
nature
first
calls.
One was when he did the dolphins and laces out.
Yes,
and Dan
Ray
Marino.
Finkel.
Yeah, laces out Finkel and Dan Marino. And what we brought this up is well, you brought it up, but it was funny because. The other day, it was seriously maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were watching TV at the house.
It was on.
It was on, and I told my oldest daughter, I was like, she's like, what's this? I was like, look, this is Ace Ventura. I was like, this is something that I watched as a kid for comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And she laughed. She just sat there and chuckled, and it was the jungle one, the second one, when he came in. Especially
Nature
when he came
Calls?
Out, yeah.
Yep.
So.
He does that in Nature Calls with birds. He literally throws up. Yep. He throws up into the bird's mouth and feeds them.
Yep.
But it was funny you mentioned the first one, because if there's no way that movie could be made today, because that movie was basically mocking trans from the very get-go in the 90s because of the whole Ray Finkel thing. And they actually, they show it on, if you watch it on IFC, they actually show when she's tucking the balls behind her.
Yeah.
Because they won't show it on actual regular television, but they'll show it. They'll show the bulge and the penis hiding behind the tucked in legs when he gets exposed.
Yep.
That's that. You can't. There's no way they get away.
Hell no. Jim Carrey would be done.
Done. They would cancel him so fast. But that movie, I don't even remember. You know, as kids when we were watching that, I never even got that vibe. I just thought it was funny.
Funny, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I never...
Well, trans. We weren't trans.
It was just basically... I mean, you knew what a cross-dresser was.
Yeah,
but you never.
Gay,
I never understood that whole thing.
Yep.
All right. Let me give you a second one. Let's see. Cornucopia. Do you know what a cornucopia is?
I've heard the word before. Nope, hit me.
Well, cornucopia is actually, I believe, a noun, and it's based around, you know, that horn-looking thing from the old medieval times.
Okay.
It would be like a basket that
yep.
they would put fruits and vegetables
yep.
in. So it's like a cornucopia of fruits and vegetables.
Ah, okay.
But all basically the definition is an abundant supply of good things of a specified kind. The festival offers a cornucopia of pleasures.
Okay.
Used in a sentence.
All right.
All right, give me one.
All right, let me whip out the phone back here.
Hit me with another. Dude, that meat.
now.
Dude, that meat umbrella.
I'll save that because these are more. I try to stay somewhere.
That's fine.
Do you know what an asshole is? Asshole. It's one word. Asshole.
Askhole.
Yep.
An asshole would probably be someone in like from back in your like grade school, middle school days where they would like. Your teacher would give out some sort of instruction, and then they would come up with like some smart ass retort back, where they would like you know mock the directions.
Well, and you're kind of in the general vicinity, this the way I look at it's like, and I'll read the sentiment, but I take it as it's the person where you're in, say like a lecture, and they're like, the teacher's like, all right, y'all got any questions? And most of you are wanting to get out there, and you got this. Well, what if you do this? Like, it don't fucking matter. What if you do that? We don't care.
So there was always that one.
Yeah, student. It's like, dude, shut up. We could leave.
Yeah, don't you remember? And that was the worst in college.
So it's an individual who asks ridiculous, obnoxious, or irrelevant questions. And it's like, all right, dude, just shut up. Like, we don't care what your questions are.
You have anybody you work with that does that? Like, do you have anybody that, like, tries to impress your boss with a question and you're just like, dude, that is the most rhetorical question?
No.
He already answered it, and yet you asked a question behind it.
Now, when I went to a conference this past summer, there was people up there. It was like, all right, dude, shut. Like, just don't ask that. Don't ask. They already said it.
Dude, Marcus said the same thing about that conference. Yeah. It's like, literally, there's people in there just, like, spouting off and trying to, like, sound cool.
Yeah, it's like, one, it's like, they just answered that. Or two, whatever you're asking and the answer you're looking for does not matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, like why are you trying to
sound gonna ask
cool in front of
matter.
Your peers?
Yep.
It's ridiculous, man. Alright. Do you know what secular means?
I don't.
Have no idea? Not even a guess.
Secular.
I would refer to you as secular.
Oh. Well, besides handsome. Shit. Handsome.
I would.
Does that mean
this? Let me use it in a sentence. Matt Henson is secular.
Does that mean opinionated?
Nope.
All right, damn, I'm out.
So if you're secular, it means you're not subject to or bound by religious rule or other things that have no religious or spiritual basis.
I like the secular.
So you are, I would refer to you as secular.
So does that mean like you're just more of a free spirit?
You're basically, you are not bound by any sort of religious beliefs. You are literally, you don't, I would say you're not, most religious people might refer to you as atheist because that's easier to like peg you by saying you're non-believer.
Yeah.
But I would say secular. Or even, I would say, this might be off, and I'm not going to claim to be a scholar here, but I would say that if you're secular, you're sort of agnostic in the meaning that you don't know what any of the religious things, like you're just kind of up in the air about them, but at the same time, you're not bound to Christianity, you're not bound to Mormonism, you're not bound to any of that stuff.
Hey, can I get off topic for a second?
Hit me.
This just dawned on me while I'm talking, and I got back to thinking about the peeing through your zipper.
Yeah.
Why do they put zippers on girls' pants?
Mmm. You know, I had the same thought to the fact of like, wow, like the zipper really has a function today. Like I had no idea.
Besides striking a match off of it,
or getting zipped up in there.
Yeah.
do you know anybody that's ever zipped up and got caught?
No, but that hurt.
Oh, I can't imagine.
What was that thing? Your meat.
Your meat curtain. Your meat umbrella. I didn't want to call anybody out that I could possibly know who has a meat umbrella. But if you refer,
you lost me. You lost. I'm back.
If you refer back to my previous comment about me polling the audience on who went through the zipper and who didn't, our buddy Champagne P, who's sponsoring the podcast, doesn't go through the zipper. That might be the reason why.
Hey,
but back. I want to answer
safety
your question
first.
Safety first. I want to answer your question about that. You know that they do make buttons.
Right.
Buttons for the zipper. So number one, I have no idea why the zipper is made for girls. I don't know why. And number two, some girls' pants, I think they go button all the way down. I don't know what functionality that has.
You just do the one button at the top and be done with it.
Or just one button. Why not just have a like smooth section of there?
Hey, any of our listeners out there?
Yeah, I need some information on this because I don't know why. I don't know. We would have to get with a jeans expert on this because I have no idea.
Well, I mean, I know a couple of jean designers.
Hit them up in the DMs, dog. Slide into Levi's and be like, yo, why do you guys put zipper on girls' pants?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. Let's hit you with one. Do you know what feckless means?
Well, you got the less in there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Feckless. Does that mean, I'm guessing you don't have any feelings?
Close. Yep. A little close.
Like no care, feelings.
Feckless means lacking initiative or strength of character, or you're irresponsible.
Ah.
So there was a famous... Do you know who Samantha Bee is?
No.
Samantha Bee is a...
Probably some girl you watch on...
No.
All right.
She's on TBS. She has a late night show. And she's sort of a comedian / political pundit, correspondent, whatever. And... There was a certain show and where I think she was talking about Hillary Clinton or some other woman that was running for office.
Condoleezza Rice.
Somebody. And she, I think on air, called her a feckless cunt.
Ooh.
On air. So that's where I got that.
Have you ever seen that skit with Zach? Say his last name.
Zach.
Something Vanoff is Zach.
Fallon or crap, no. Man.
Zach
Galifianakis.
Yeah. He does between two.
Yeah, between two ferns. You seen those?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh my God.
You
gosh.
Think it was staged or you think he just pulled that out of his hat? Like, just like, all right, I'm going to ask you.
I think it was like an Ali G thing where, like, he basically coaxed her into the interview and she had no idea.
Because there was one point she was like, I don't know why I'm even doing this interview.
Yes.
And he just like, well, you're here. So, yeah, but man, that shit was funny.
Dude, he does. There's a lot of good ones of those. There's one with, who was it? I believe it was a famous actor, and he kind of played along. But dude, Galifianakis between two ferns. Get on YouTube or wherever. That used to be on Death or Laughter, I think was the name of it. But yeah, dude, those are some epic interviews where like he's really just like he's just sitting there like mocking the interview the whole time, like. So how about this? What do you think about this? And they're just like. Is he really asking me that?
Right.
He's funny.
Yeah.
He is extremely funny. All right, hit me with
that. No, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's see. Do you know what impudent means?
God, man. Shit, no. Damn. I didn't say you go in the back of the damn
Come
bitch,
on, give
man.
Me something. You can throw something at me. Impudent.
Do I get a context clue?
No. No clues. I didn't get anything on Meat Umbrella or whatever it was.
Ah, man.
Except sexual.
Does that mean I'm strong-willed and...
Yeah.
All right.
If you're impudent, it means you're not showing due respect for another person.
Ah, okay.
So literally,
not basically telling you to fuck off.
So basically, you could in so many words, you could be like, I could be like, yeah, Matt Henson has this relationship with a certain person, and he's sort of impudent towards her.
Okay.
Huh?
I get you.
Yeah, we're expanding our vocabulary as we speak.
That's a good one.
You can use feckless cunt. You can do. You can use. Hey, I'm secular, baby. I'm secular. How you like that? I'm here with me. Yeah. Walk into your parents on Sunday and be like, hey guys, I found out I'm secular. Hallelujah.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. I hope I can remember that word.
Yeah, secular.
I got one for you.
Okay.
You know what a boomerang child is?
boomerang child.
Yeah.
Is this somebody on ADHD medication? No,
and you're an example of this.
Oh yeah,
you were a boomerang child.
Yep.
Due to you and your wife's decisions. Yeah.
Interesting. Due to mine and Laura's decisions.
Back in the day, like after you got married, you know, you are a boomerang child.
Oh, we had a child out of wedlock.
Nope.
Damn it.
So boomerang child is a child who moves out to start his or her own life, then returns home to live basically back with your parents.
As
a result of economy, but possibly due to irresponsibility of some kind.
I love that.
So you're a boomerang child.
Well, I can't wait to let my wife know that we're boomerang children.
You are?
Which is interesting. So we left West Virginia in 2015.
To live your dream life.
To live the dream life in Myrtle Beach. And
wouldn't have expected you all to go anywhere else.
Like. And her parents built a massive home to spec down there. But when we first moved down there, we lived in our grandparents' place at Ocean Lakes.
Yep.
Which we talked about on the podcast last time. But do you know any other boomerang children? Anyone else that's lived
there? Chelsea was a boomerang child.
She
went back to her dad after she got divorced.
So she lived with her dad over.
Hell, my sister, my fucking oldest sister.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's boomeranging. Damn. We'll probably have boomerang kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
You think that's an epidemic facing the country?
Hell yeah.
That literally kids are like, yeah, why not? I'll just live with my parents.
Well, so, and I got a niece that's in the situation now. She's wanting to get out on her own. She's really harping on me to give her advice, and I'm like, you don't want my advice, because I told her, I said, as an uncle, as a, you know, a father figure, a brother, whatever you want to call me, I told her, I said, I'm going to have to tell you the truth, and you're not going to like it, but if I don't tell you the truth, I'm doing you a disservice.
Correct.
I was like, you can't afford it. I know you want to get out.
You don't realize what the struggle is.
I did a budget for her the other day. I sent her two pictures for what she makes, what she brings home, and what she's going to have at minimum. I was like, you're already starting a whole $700. And she was like, well, I got $1,300 in savings. I said, that don't matter.
That'll be gone.
She said, but rent's only $650. I said, your first month's $1,300 because you have a deposit.
So your savings are shot.
Gone. I'm like, I support you if you do it. I understand you're 19, you want to get on your own, but you got a shit job. You got a good job. It's a starter job. You're not making any money.
Move in with somebody.
But these days, kids' days and age, I don't know. And I was like, you know what? I told her that's a bad idea. But,
yeah, which is good advice.
Yeah. But I told her.
Stay at home as long as you can and keep stacking.
Yeah, I told her. I said, you'll be better in the long run.
Keep saving money.
All right, let me hit you with another one.
Yeah, hit me with another one.
So we did boomerang child.
Boomerang children.
All right, I got two more, and I'm gonna do this one, and then I'll let you do, and we'll end with the this other one. And it's not. I should have ended with the meat umbrella.
That's fine. It was gonna kill regardless when you did it.
You know what cyber slacking is?
Ooh.
And you and your job, it really is not beneficial. You can't really, because you're out in the field. So more of an office person. Me, for instance, I am cyber slacking at work all the time.
Probably means that when you're on your computer at work, you're normally not looking at, you're not doing anything work related. You're probably surfing the web on Facebook or YouTube or something of that.
Yeah, you're the first part of it. You're correct. You are you're doing shit on there that you're not
supposed to be doing.
So cyber slacking is using one's employer's internet and email for personal activities during work.
So you're basically getting the free internet at work and doing your thing so you don't get it at home.
Yeah, or you're using the email, which our email is monitored, so it wouldn't be a good idea. But you'd be like, all right, well, I'm emailing about a house I want to buy for my work.
Yeah, you're emailing customer service and Amazon.
Yeah, you're doing that from your work. Yeah, so I'll be cyber slacking out there.
There's a lot of cyber slacking that goes on at Starbucks and like places that have like free internet and stuff.
Yeah.
Where they just go and basically mooch off of it because they don't want to pay for it.
But they don't care because they're getting, as long as they pay and buy one drink, you got it.
Yeah.
So,
cyber slacking.
Yeah.
All right. Good one. Let's see here. You said you had one more after that?
Yeah, I got one more.
Okay. This is an easy one. Yeah. Nevertheless. You know what nevertheless means?
Is that like, so I want to use it like nevertheless. I don't know if I can do it
this. This is a perfect sentence for you, so use it in a sentence.
Like, I would say like nevertheless, like, if I was going to say like, Flam was this, but nevertheless, like, would he, like, he brought it anyways, or I was expecting it, or something like that.
Correct. So,
it was like doubt, but then you surprised me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doubt, like, everybody's doubting, but nevertheless, he brought the high-ass whiskey out here.
Hell yeah. Hey, shout out Electric Craig, Barrel Proof, Marco. It's good shit. definition is, in spite of that, notwithstanding or all the same, and then use it in a sentence, which is this really good pertaining to you. He was very tired. Nevertheless, he went on his walk.
Yeah, got
to get his steps
get
in.
Get your ass up and get out there.
How's the steps going?
Oh, man, I was going to do a shout-out. I'll go ahead and do it itself. Yeah. So I told you I was going to weigh myself a month. Give myself a month, do everything I was supposed to do, change it up. First 2 weeks was shit. I actually went up 3 pounds, and I was like, I texted you. I was like, dude, I'm fucking hustling these steps. I'm getting it in. I'm going out at night. I don't care if it's cold, rain, whatever. I'm getting these steps in. You said calories. Got an app on my phone, been counting calories, watching what I eat, sacrificing, like, hey, man, you got this. I'm down 10 pounds in a month.
Damn, hell yeah, bro.
So I flipped it from, I guess you could say I went up 3 and I'm down 10 altogether, so 13.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I, and actually I give credit to my wife, too. She found something, stuck to it. Man, Coke Zero. I've weaned myself pretty much off Coke, but if I want a good Coke or something, I'll make sure they give me a cherry.
Did you see the new Mountain Dew Zero?
Dude. So I've been on these Zero kicks, and the best thing I can do is find them at Wendy's because they got that thing.
They got a mellow yellow Zero,
and they got a Mountain. I didn't see the Mountain Dew Zero.
They got Mountain Dew Zero.
But have you ever had a Baja Blast Zero from Taco Bell?
No, I have not.
So a guy the other day got in a little bit of trouble. He worked at Taco Bell. I got two Taco Bell stories. We'll cut this in there.
Yeah,
so, two Taco Bell. One guy got in a little bit of trouble. Guy was doing some paperwork. I'm talking to him. He works at Taco Bell, and I'm like, dude, are you a Mountain Dew guy? Are you Mountain Baja Blast? And I was like, dude, I'm a fan of that Zero. And he's like, oh, you're stupid. And I'm like, no, man, that Zero's good.
Yeah,
good Baja Blast. So I was saying, like, man, cheesy gordita crunch. And he's like, oh, I'm a fan. He said, but have you ever asked for the hard taco to be a Dorito taco?
On the crunch?
Yeah.
No.
I was like, ah, oh, man. He's like, try that. And I was like, damn, I never thought of that.
Did you go Doritos or did you go the Cool Ranch?
I don't know. I ain't done it, but I'm going to swing.
Because you're not a Cool Ranch guy.
I am, I think, but I don't
remember this from back as kids.
Yeah.
You had the Cool Ranch, and then you yacked it up one night, and you were like,
I regurgitated that up.
Yes. Full circle, baby. Full circle.
I regurgitated some Cool Ranch Doritos, and I quit eating them.
Yep.
But now I'm over that.
Okay.
And then,
That's a good advice from your boy at Taco Bell. Yeah. I like that. I have to hit that up.
Because he was like, you know, this and that, yada, yada. I was like, dude, I ain't harping on you. You know, you already got your ass chewing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I was like, let's just, you're already
just shoot the shit with him.
So, today, I'm out working, and in my job, these people that we deal with, they're not allowed to drink. So, we were going through the refrigerator, and nothing was found, and this girl, she's cool, you know. I've dealt with her for a long time, too long,
right?
And so whatever, she was in there, and I got back in the refrigerator, and I don't know why I opened the refrigerator back up, but I opened it back up. I seen a Taco Bell bag in there, and I was like, I yelled, and I'm like, hey, you don't put Taco Bell in refrigerator. Like, you eat it.
Yeah, don't wait. Yeah,
yeah, you don't
throw it out.
No, you eat it. Like, you bought it, you eat it. You don't save it for in the morning.
No,
and
good.
You don't refrigerate it. No, you eat good. It, or no, you good. Offer it to somebody.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, I wonder why she has that. So I open it up. Well, that's where she was storing all of her bootleggers.
Oh,
I was like, well, damn. But you know, we just gave her. You know, it's like she's at the end of her road, and we gave her a leash. I don't know, that case is handled by somebody else. So she's like, it's not mine. It's my mom's. You know, and it all checked out. Her mom actually came home, and I looked at her mom. I was like, I don't know why you're drinking bootleggers. I'm like, there's better out there. You know what
Dude,
I mean?
Dude, there's bootleggers over in that
yeah,
fridge.
These Apple ones. I'm like, oh, God. You know, so we disposed of them, whatever. But it was funny because I was telling the lady I was with, I was like, you know, I wasn't even looking in that bag for anything. I looked at it just because I was curious about what tacos she put back in the refrigerator.
Just wanted to know what her order was.
Yeah. I said,
because I was judging her off of that.
Taco Bell.
Because if she was going to have a Gordita Crunches in there, I was going to ream her
yeah.
for ruining those.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see KFC's got a new Mountain Dew?
I'm not a KFC guy.
I understand that. But on their commercials, they're rolling, they're marketing the original recipe. But if you look in the background, it's a Mountain Dew, and it looks like it says Sweet Lightning on it.
All right.
And it's yellowish. Yeah.
Give me your top three Mountain Dews.
Yep. Oh, yeah, this is good. I like this. I'm going number one. Oof. Livewire, number one.
Mm.
Number two, original Mountain Dew. And number three, under the right circumstances, I love the Code Red.
Ah!
I love the Code Red.
All right, I hate Code Red.
Oh, dude.
Fucking hate it. Oh, fuck the Code Red.
Go. I don't want to change mine. Go ahead. But honorable mention is Blackout.
I never had the black, white, purple, or whatever. Never had any of
them. You never had Blackout?
Nope.
Man. No.
Code Red was the wildest I've went.
Yeah, it sort of had a cough syrupy taste, yeah. But I like
Code Red's out for me.
Okay.
I hate Code Red.
Right. Oh, yeah. Baja Blasts are probably
yeah,
in there.
So,
so that's probably your number one.
All right. So if I'm out saying we're going to go, I wish I shouldn't say get a drink. Not if I'm going to like, hey, we're going to dinner at Taco Bell, I'm getting Baja Blasts up. I don't go to Taco Bell unless I get a Baja Blast.
Like, okay.
So if I'm going to talk about Baja Blast. So, if we're going to talk about it, I'm agreeing with you. I love a live wire Mountain Dew.
Man.
Now, I don't get them.
No.
But I love them.
Yes.
I love, and
there's
I don't
nostalgia
know,
there.
I don't know why I would even say that because it doesn't make sense. I love them, but I don't get them because I'd get a regular Mountain Dew before, but I love a live wire
yes.
Mountain Dew.
Yes.
You give me a cold live wire.
They don't. Yeah. Do you even see them anymore?
Yeah, they're out. They're
Are they
out.
Still
yeah,
out there?
Yeah, they're good.
You need to have that Mountain Dew Zero and report back on what on how that.
Now
is.
I've had Mellow Yellow Zero at Wendy's.
Okay,
and it's good.
It's good.
Yeah,
I like dude. Coke Zero is good.
Yeah,
I Coke love Zero. I actually like it. I enjoy it more than Diet Coke. I would drink a Coke Zero over a Diet Coke, and I like Diet Coke.
And they got a Pepsi Zero. I had one of those days.
That's Ron. That's Ron's. That's Ron's.
Damn, big Ron's a Zero.
Yeah, he loves Pepsi Zero.
So I'm going Livewire, yep. Regular, and then a Baja Blast. Unless we're going to Taco Bell, then you can go shuffle the three and then go back down.
Remember the there? I don't know if it was last podcast or the podcast prior to. We talked about Coke.
Yep.
And I remember telling you that everybody had said that there was something different about the McDonald's Coke.
Yep.
Fountain Coke.
We talked about
yep.
that.
Yep. So there was a video that was released the following week that I watched from my man Lou over at Unbox Therapy. This is a whole segment, a whole 8-minute clip about talking about the Coke at McDonald's being different. Here's why. And it is. It's been
it's in a bag?
It's. They don't. McDonald's has a strict. They have a special deal with Coke. Theirs is delivered in aluminum cans. And it's stored at a certain temperature
so
from
like
to
a keg,
and from.
It's in a keg?
It's basically in a keg. And they bring it to the store. And it's specially done just for McDonald's. No one else gets that treatment. Everybody else gets the bags. So McDonald's has a special deal with
Coke. Plug that. Y'all, yeah.
Breaking news.
Y'all want a conspiracy theory? Yeah, the Coke at McDonald's is different, dog. It is different. All right. Off of that, I'll give you another one. Do you know what serendipitous means?
Damn it. Because it makes me think...
Serendipity is a restaurant down in Hurricane.
That's what made me think of it. Hit me. I don't know.
Okay, you don't know? All right. So this is a long one, but I'll give it to you. The occurrence and development of events by chance in a happy or beneficial way. So using it in a basically giving you a better definition. The definition of serendipitous refers to something good or fortunate that happens as a result of a luck or chance. Mm. So when you meet a person who becomes your spouse because your train is late that day, this is an example of a serendipitous event.
Gotcha.
So basically, if you're lucky and something happens good, that was a serendipitous event.
Huh. Oh, damn.
But that restaurant down in Hurricane is ridiculous because they basically give you that like stack
I
of
think
like
it's out.
Is it done?
Yeah.
They went under?
I think so.
Oh, man. Because, I mean, it was a good idea, but like...
Yeah.
But that was wet. Like, remember those milkshakes that had...
Overkill.
You only needed one for the table. You didn't need... Everybody didn't need to have their own.
Also, this just came... Man, I feel like I'm having deja vu.
You hit it.
I think Kurt's a Code Red man. I think Kurt, if you listen to this, hit me and let me know if you are Code Red man. I think you are.
Really?
Yep. I think Kurt's Code Red.
I wonder why. I mean, I like it. I like it, but it was never at the top. And I forgot all about Blackout. Blackout. I remember liking Black. I did not like the white Mountain Dew.
When
the one that had like the blue top.
When our editor goes through this, she needs to write down these things. So if we ever get Kurt on here, we can ask him about his Mountain Dews.
Yeah. We'll hit him with his top
three.
We'll
tell our editor to take care of it.
All right. I'll let you end on yours. I'll give you my last one. You know what nebulous means?
We're back to the less again, so I'm going to say that's without a lacking something or either nebulous.
Nebulous.
Does that mean you're cold-hearted? No feelings?
This would mean in a form of a cloud or hazy, a giant nebulous glow. Like if the plant were to blow up, there'd be a nebulous glow above the plant.
It's kind of like, oh shit.
Yes.
I got you. I see what you're saying.
And it's also, there's also another meaning of basically being unclear or vague or ill-defined. So something like a description of something, like we were just giving our descriptions of Mountain Dew. They might have been nebulous because we're kind of vague about something. Yep. You know what I mean?
Okay. I got it.
That's all I got. All
right, let me hit you with this last one. I know what it is, but I want to get to make sure I get the right term. And you can tell me you might experience this. Have you ever had ninja sex?
Ninja sex?
Yeah. Back to our listeners, this is a good one. I'm sure a lot of people have.
Ninja sex.
Yep.
So I'm assuming by putting ninja in front of sex, that is, you have done something sneaky.
You have done something
that the other person wasn't expecting you to do.
No. Right, you're the sneaky part. You're on.
Okay.
When I first seen ninja sex, I was thinking like, all right, you're in there throwing moves like.
Choking
people out, like, and even like you kind of said, like, maybe borderline rape. You ninja in them, like, you know what I mean.
I hope our listeners haven't done that.
I hope nobody's raped anybody. Yeah, let's put that up.
Let's leave it there.
But on Urban Dictionary, I'm like, it could mean anything.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So it's silent sexual intercourse in order to avoid awakening a sleeping roommate, parent, etc.
Oh yeah, definitely have done that.
Yeah, so we.
I think a lot of ninja sex happens in college.
Yeah,
especially with roommates.
Yep.
You have no idea, like, you do know something's going on over in those sheets.
But they're being respectful.
You hope. That's all you can hope for. Like, if you have a good roommate, that's what you can hope for. Because if it's obnoxious, then you're literally just laying
so
there.
So what do you do? What, I didn't go away for college, so I didn't have this yet. Your roommate is having some maybe low-key, high, you know, some ninja sex.
Yeah.
What do you do as a roommate? Do you just say, all right, I need this take 10? Or do you say, fuck, I'm going to bed? What do you do? All right. Are you right or wrong?
So you're asking me personally what I would do, or are you asking me about situations?
No, if you've lived it, we need to know experiences.
Okay, like, so...
I mean, you ain't going to bust anybody out.
No, I'm not. There will be no name dropping here. So, as a roommate and my sleeping habits and patterns, if I hit that bed before the other person did, there is no way on God's green earth that I was going to wake up during this was going on. So you could have been bucking and jiving and noising and like everything. Like there could have been some weird noise. I would have had no idea.
All right, so what if you did wake up? You just say, all right, that's cool.
I just roll over. Like if you're asking me personally, I would just roll over and take it.
Or do you do the get her?
Get her? Jay, get her! Have you ever been a part of ninja sex?
No.
Have you ever had ninja sex?
Yeah.
You've had ninja sex.
But I haven't been into the part where you were talking about the roommate.
So you've been...
Yeah, you don't... Yeah, where you don't want to wake up. And, man, I almost had ninja intercourse at the bottom of your brick house, and then it almost turned into
the shovel incident.
Yeah, it almost turned into a full-blown ninja murder. And then somebody tell our listeners out there, I was the one that was going to get murdered.
The ninja was going down.
No, the ninja was up. I had to disarm the ninja. All right. Wow. That seemed like yesterday.
Just relive that.
Yeah.
So, I felt like I was in our. So, what was the term you used for me and my wife?
Boomerang.
Boomerang. Yeah. So, being a boomerang child. There, you can obviously go back to the times in which I was living at my sister's, which she was there, and then also living at Myrtle Beach with her grandparents, and then living in her parents' house.
Yeah,
there were some times that we were probably doing our thing and you never wanted to be in a situation where that bed is like.
Yeah, and it's like
squeaking,
and then you have that awkward walk down the steps. It's like,
did they hear anything going on? Right. So there was a lot of that in me and my wife's early days, where like, you know, when we got moved back here and like everything was, you know, kosher, and we're moved back in, it's like, oh, now we can actually, you know,
we ain't gotta be ninjas.
We ain't gotta be ninjas anymore. We graduated to full blown warriors in here.
Yeah.
Get out the shields and swords and let's go at it.
Yeah.
So I've ninja'd and I've definitely been ninja'd.
Gotcha.
I've been on the other end of the spectrum, I believe. I can recall us waking up like on Saturdays and Sundays where like all the guys would like conjugate into like the commons area as a group, and you could just tell guys that were like all around each other like, what were you doing in there last night? Yeah, you could, like, from the stories I remember, like, there were just a lot of guys like, hey, man, it went down, and that's just kind of how I went. And then the other guy's like, yeah, I was on the bottom bunk, dog. Like, come on.
I know.
You're up on top, and I'm up on the bottom just having to take it.
There was more than one person taking it.
No. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
So what do? You just get up and leave?
No, I think guys hung along for the ride.
I can only imagine. Cause,
there might have. Here's another scenario that I want to kick to you as well. There possibly, if you were on the other end of the spectrum and you were getting ninja'd,
yep,
and you were trying to play it cool and act like you were asleep, there might have been a scenario which the girl got down and you got a peek of what was going on.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here.
Yeah. Like you roll over in your slumber and look at your eye pops open and you see her putting her stuff back on. That might have been a good
like,
thing.
Like, oh, you're going to do the walk of shame. I'm like, I know, I'm not asleep. Like, I know what you were doing over there. Oh, what a time
to
be
alive. A lot of that goes down, man. A lot of that goes down. That's a part of being a roommate, too. Because there's a lot of... I can recall where guys were like, if you were out and like that's where we would, you know, congregate to in the mornings, there would also be scenarios like at the end of the night where guys would like, everybody's sitting around and like the girl comes over and like, you know.
All right, let me go get my pillow and blanket.
Yeah, and the girl kind of like grabs your arm and you get up and you like, and you're making your way to the room and you lock eyes with your roommate and you're like, yeah, man, you got 10 minutes before I'm coming in there. You know what I mean?
And stay on your bed.
Yeah. Get it in and get it done because I'm coming in there because I'm tired. And be respectful, dog. Hey, listen, I'll speak from personal experience on this one. My freshman year, okay, I was dating Jennifer, and you know she was down here, I'm up there, and I had a roommate who was a townie, who was an Elkinite, and to come back to see Jennifer, I would just, you know, on weekends, like because we were free, I would just drive back, hang out, whatever, and drive back on Sundays. And there was a couple weekends where I'm like, oh, everything's cool. And then I would get back in on Sunday and he wouldn't be there. And I'd walk in, I'd look around the room. I'm like, dude, what happened in here? Because you have no idea. You know, right. You're gone. So I started to notice that my food was getting eaten. And I was like, ah, okay, whatever, you know. I get it. You know, he got the munchies, whatever, you know. Yeah. Do your thing, dog. And then more trips happen. I come back and I'm like, dude, why is my bed messed up? I'm like, this ain't cool.
You couldn't even fold my bed.
I'm like, dude, you couldn't even have made my bed back? And then I come to find out, there was one scenario in which I come back and I find cigarette burns in my sheets. And I'm like, dude, like, really, man? Come on. Like, what's going on? And it could have been cigarette burns. It could have been marijuana. Whatever. I didn't care. It was just the thought of it. And then I find out later on through the grapevine that, like, this dude's throwing, like, full-blown parties in our room while I'm gone on the weekends. And you, granted, you get it. I'm like, I get it. Like, yeah, you can't control everybody in that room. But, like, once that party dwindles down, what the heck is going on in here and what's going on in my bed? Man. So, eventually, I got to the point where before we parted ways, I would literally pack everything I had back up and have to take it home. I'm like, dude, I don't trust you.
So he didn't say anything?
Didn't say, to this day, we were never really cool, but it was just like, man, like, you couldn't have a little more respect than that, you know?
Yep.
But he wasn't, you know, he didn't have to worry about Ninja because I wasn't even there. Yes. You know what I mean? So he was doing his thing. So more power to him, but that's a good one. I liked the Urban Dictionary twist, though, man. That was a good one. I'd given some consideration to that, like, for a split second in my mind. I was like, I'll just go with the regular stuff, but this was fun. I like this.
Spur of the moment, man. I like that. Spin it. So. Yeah.
We can always come back to this idea. You can go for podcast after podcast on this one, but you got anything else?
No, man. I don't think I have much. You know, life's going by fast. I hope our listeners are getting by. I'm glad Billy's doing all right. And what'd you say? Champagne Pete?
Mm-hmm.
Champagne Pete, we
appreciate the support, dog. It has been when he did that, I was just like, yo. I was actually on my way to Bill's, and I was like, yo, I appreciate it. And then I got in there and looked and saw what it was. And I'm like, yo, man, you didn't have to do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But again, we always appreciate the support. And if anybody else is listening, y'all want the link, it's on our podcast information on the Anchor website. And if you need more than that, I can always send you and hit you with the link, and we appreciate the support, keeping the dream alive. This eventually is going to, like we've said from the beginning, it's going to transition into where we're going to have full-blown equipment and have people on and have roundtable discussions, and it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be our little hobby.
And if we're going to get into our shout-outs, I did talk to Doug from West Virginia Auto Sales this week. I had to text him about some side business of cars and different stuff, and I told him, I said, hey, man, I said, I just want to let you know, I sent a girl out there today to look at a car, Alex from high school. She said something about Facebook. She was like, best used car salesman. I said, go to Dick and Doug, West Virginia Auto. I said, tell them I sent you. She went out there. I don't know if she bought anything. I don't know if they treated her right. Yep. And I told him, I said, hey, buddy, me, you know, I said, we do a little podcast weekly. And I said, I always give him a shout out. I said, give you a shout out. You know, go buy West Virginia used auto sales, blase, blase.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, that's cool. And I said, so I said, take care of them if they come out there and,
yeah, you they know, drop their name. Yeah. So. Speaking of Bert, her mom, I'm assuming, subs at Dunbar Primary.
Yeah, I'd say.
Every once in a while. And I guess she had come across Ev and figured out her last name or whatever and was like, yeah, I know your dad. And Ev was like, okay. She's like, yeah, your dad used to date my daughter. I was like, Ev came home and she's like, do you know Mrs. B? And I'm like, no. And then it, like, hours later after she goes to school, I asked my mom, like, who would Mrs. B be? And she's like, would it be Mrs. Bertolotti? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess she showed a picture of Ev, Mrs. B showed a picture of Ev to Alex and was like, yeah, hey, look at this. Which, nice. Alex was at play dates one time we were out there, so we've ran into her once, but
that's cool.
Glad Alex went out there and, you know, looked at the cars and I was actually in a rental for work, and I was coming back from Charleston, and I was getting off the exit there at Cross Lanes, and I'd seen Dick and his protege out there, like, wiping cars off.
Yeah.
And dude almost rear ended the guy getting off. I'm like, dude, West Virginia Auto Sales just almost cost my company thousands of dollars. It's like, yo. It's like, I got to stop looking that way. Because that's my tendency every time I get off that exit.
See what's out there.
I always look at the lot every time. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, shout out West Virginia Auto Sales. You guys need it. You guys in for cars, go out there, drop the name, drop Blase Blase podcast, and they'll hook you up. Kara's cut up and collar always. Need your hair did, get out there. The Means family's been trickling in, so
yeah,
that's good. And also always appreciate, you know, Anchor giving us the forum and the platform to do this. So they're the sponsor at the beginning, and that's it, man. Casey's out of the leggings game, so she's not doing LuLaRoe anymore. So we lost that sponsor.
RIP.
Yeah, it happens. Everybody moves on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's it. That's all I got. If you got anything else.
That's it. Just if y'all got anything on the
zippers,
Dew.
Yeah, zippers. I definitely
zippers, Mountain Dew, and you got any good Urban Dictionary words, hit us up.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary. That was a good one. All right. Hey, until next time, appreciate the support.
We'll see you ninja people later.
Yeah, watch all you ninjas out there, y'all. Take it easy. Peace.